Peace and love. What a difference a decade makes. When I was 20, I was a senior at Morgan State University, and this French teacher came up to me and asked me if I was interested in applying for a Fulbright scholarship, which would pay for me to study a year abroad in the country of my choice, whatever it is I wanted to study. What do you want to study? What else? Dance. I said, okay, I want to study dance, some more dance. I'd always been into dancing. So they said, well, where do you want to go? I said, I want to go to India. So we sat down and we wrote out this whole thing about why this black girl from Baltimore needs to go to India and study Indian dance and come back and share all the knowledge with the black community, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we sent it off. And then we didn't hear anything for about 4 or 5 months, and then about 6 months later, really, we got this letter back saying that they had accepted me, but India was out. So they gave me a choice between Germany and Romania. I said, Indian dance. I mean, well, you know, Romania, Germany. What, you know, I said, Germany. It's a year free in another country. So I said, okay, Germany. So we sent that out. We rewrote it, why this black girl from Baltimore should go to Germany and learn dance and then come back and share it with the community, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, they gave it to me. They gave me the scholarship, and that was when I was 20. And I turned 21 in Germany, in Berlin, Germany. And it was a fabulous year. Talk about being at the right place at the right time to do all these remarkable things. I can't get into all of them, but the one thing that really stands out was I was in this show about the assassination of Patrice Lumumba, and one of the African actors in it was also in the musical Hair. I had never seen Hair. So he gave me a ticket to come see it. So I came to see it, and I sat there in the front row, and I watched the whole first half of Hair in German. And then during the intermission, I saw my friend come around the corner, and he had this German guy with him, and they came right to me, and they said, one of the black women in the show just got sick, and we need somebody to take her part. I said, are you kidding me? I don't know this show. I've never seen this show. They said, don't worry about it. You'll be able to do it. Just come, would you do it? We just need somebody who could move and get into it. Why not? So I said, okay. So I went backstage, and it was the part, I don't know if you've ever seen Hair. There's this one part where these three black women are standing there like this, and they got these tight, slinky, silver outfits on, like looking like the Supremes, really. And then the joke is that when they open up, it's one great big dress, and it's the three women in it. So I was one of those three women. Anyway, the woman whose part I was taking didn't get well, and I wound up doing that part for the next 2 weeks. And then, and then, of course, I learned the whole thing, and then I wound up going on the road with them for 2 months. So I did German, I did Hair in German, in Germany, while I was on a Fulbright scholarship. Anyway, so I was on my way back home to America, and I was thinking, okay, so what do I want to do next? And so I was looking at the stewardess, and she's speaking her thing in a couple of different languages, and I thought, you know, I could do that. I could probably do that. So I came back to Baltimore, got on a train, went up to New York the day before Thanksgiving. And I had an interview with Pan Am. And the day after Thanksgiving, they called me and they said, yes, we want you. We want you to be a stewardess. So I became, oh, okay, what year is this? This is 22 now. This is 22, so I became a stewardess for Pan Am. Wanted to be based in New York so I could go back and forth to Germany, see my friends there, and also travel to Africa. So, of course, they gave me Miami. So I was based in Miami, and which was cool, too, because then I got to see a lot of South America and the islands, etc. So on one of my flights, getting ready to go to Managua, a news reporter and a cameraman came to the airport, and they wanted to do a story on these new X-ray detection devices. The first time they had those things where your, you know, luggage would go through it. They interviewed the captain, and they wanted to interview the stewardess on duty. Moi. So they interviewed me. That piece went on network. And then they asked me right then and there, have you ever considered being a news reporter? We just lost our black female reporter. Would you be interested? And I say, I'm a dancer. I really am a dancer. I don't really watch the news, but so much. I'm just kind of doing this stewardess job. They said, well, look, when you come back from Managua, you know, give us a call. I went to Managua. I came back, and I gave them a call. And they said, come in, you know, we'll give you audition, screen test, whatever they call that. So I went in, sat behind the desk, read the stuff that they said, you know. And so they said, you know, that wasn't bad. You know, you're pretty good. So I tell you what, we'd like to offer you the job. We'll train you for 3 months, and then you can go ahead and be on the air. The money was better than being a stewardess, so I said, okay. So I took the job, and I started on January the 8th. And my first story was on the air January the 15th. A week later, not 3 months, and it was the first year that they had official holiday for Martin Luther King. So at 23, I was a news reporter for WBLG in Miami. Okay, I did that for a year, and I said, you know what, Maria, you're really a dancer. You need to get back into dancing. And then I found out that the woman who had taught me dance and who was the head of the dance department at Morgan State had passed on, and that job was open. So I quit news reporting in Miami, came back to Baltimore, and went and applied for that job, assuming that, of course, they'll give it to me. I'm a dancer. I graduated from Morgan. I had a Fulbright scholarship in dance. So I went there, and they did not give me the job because the job comes under phys ed, and you had to play speedball and basketball and badminton and all that stuff. So I didn't get it. So here I am in Baltimore with no job, so I thought, what should I do? And then I thought, you have a little TV experience. You know, go to one of the TV stations. So I went to WBAL, Channel 11, and the guy interviewed me, and he just said, thank you very much. Don't call us. We'll call you. So then I went to Channel 13. And I swear to goodness, the man said, would you like to be a star? So they gave me this job, and it was the public defender. And they put my face on 120 billboards around the state. I had a bush with a black turtleneck, and it said, Viva Maria. Now Baltimore has someone to turn to. So, and it was remarkable. I mean, all of a sudden I was popular, and I had a two-page spread in Newsweek magazine, and I was in Jet magazine, and then I was the Essence Woman of the Month, and it was just unbelievable. So then the next year, all right, that was 24. So 25, the next year, they called me in and they said, you know what, we're bringing up this young woman from Nashville, Tennessee, and we want you to just kind of take her under your arm and kind of just show her around, you know, whatnot. And so I said, yeah, okay. So I went to the airport and met this young woman. It was Oprah Winfrey. And we became good friends. Her birthday was the day before my mother's, so we used to all celebrate birthdays together. And it was, you know, fun, and we hung out and had lots of good times together. At 26, I met the heartthrob of my life, someone that I had admired for quite a while. I got to interview him, and I even slipped him a little note, just sort of telling him how much I admired him and whatnot. And we wound up hooking up for a minute there, you know, and I went on the road with him. And then from him, I actually I started saying peace. So if you listen to my telephone calls, if you greet me, I always just say peace. And I got it from him. And it was Gil Scott Heron, bless his heart, rest in peace. Wonderful person. So that was kind of thrilling. I was at 26. 27, for all you astrologers out there, first Saturn return. 27, I decided, you know what? Are you going to dance or are you going to do television? By that time, the requests from Boston and some of the bigger stations and even NBC were saying, send us your tapes, you know. So I really had to make a decision about whether I was going to go back into dancing or stay in television. So I made the decision to quit television and get back into dance. And everybody just thought, are you out of your mind? Can't you dance on the side? Who would give up television? But I didn't. Dancing was my passion, was what I always wanted to do. So I quit television. I became a vegetarian. I stopped combing my hair. I had long, beautiful locks. And I opened a dance studio in Mondawmin Mall. It was on the bottom floor. And I had just come out of television, so everybody knew their name. So people were sending their children, and the women were coming to dance. And it was a fabulous year. And then as I moved into 28, I was at a health food store, and this man came in, and he said, Maria Broom, I want to show you something. And I said, okay. I kind of vaguely remembered him. And he came to my house, and he showed me this little thing called Agnihotra, or Homa Fire, which has changed my life. It has become the staple of my life. It's a meditation system, a meditation process that you do every morning at sunrise and sunset. And I started doing it, and I've been doing it ever since, every single day. And then I also incorporate it in all the classes that I teach and all the performances I do. If you've ever seen me, you always see me burning this little tiny fire. It's Agnihotra or Homa. And it has been sort of like the spiritual foundation in my life. So that was at 28. At 29, I went to California. I went to UCLA to study the dance arts from Japan, India, Sunda, Java, and Bali. And it's what fed me the most, because I knew as I was dancing all these years that something about the dance that I do or that was in me was different than just your regular ballet or modern. And when I went to study that, I realized, it's this world dancing with the eyes and the fingers and the hands that you are about. So I studied that at 29. And then the end of the decade at 30, I came back to Baltimore. I went to Goucher in the master's program of dance therapy, and that was the other missing piece. I wanted dance to serve something, to be something, to offer healing. So I mixed up the dance therapy and the world arts dancing and all of that, and my spiritual foundation, and all of that kind of set the tone for me for the rest of my life. So I still teach dance. I still dance. I teach storytelling. I still act. Little movies here, little TV there. And that one decade from 20 to 30, what a difference a decade makes.